Picture this, 10,000 head of Rambouillet Merino sheep spending their days grazing in the crisp air of the Montana mountains, producing the finest wool in America. These rugged landscapes are our home and have been for four generations. Welcome to Duckworth Premium Merino Wool. Every garment is born from American soil and crafted with passion, pride, and precision. From the sheep grazing on our Montana ranch to the skilled craftsmen and women whose hands knit, sew, and spin every fiber that make up our products, our process is a collaboration of American ingenuity and dedication. With Duckworth Merino Wool, you're not just buying a garment, you're investing in a legacy. Our commitment to growing, spinning, knitting, and sewing our own garments right here in America ensures unparalleled quality with stewardship of the land at our core. And the best part? You can wear our products with pride, knowing that you're supporting local communities and American workers every step of the way. So if you're ready to experience the true essence of American craftsmanship, visit Duckworth.com today. Apparel for the outdoor enthusiast and everyday lifestyle alike. We believe there's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing. Check out Duckworth today. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hey guys, welcome back to the Shepherd's Crook. Hope you guys are having a great day today. We're going to talk about applied theology today and the difficulty of trying to figure out how the Bible applies in all of life. There are many people that have recovered over the last few years a Kuyperian understanding of sphere sovereignty, and even there's been labels thrown around about New Puritanism and the idea, the really good idea that I love, that I'm on board with, that God's Word applies in everything that we can see and touch and to everything we can see and touch. And so if we just kind of look around at the world around us, and we look at our family and the church and then the world, we can say God's Word has say, something to say about that. And God's Word is authoritative over that over there and this over there. And the question then is, how does God's Word apply? How does God's law apply to whatever category we're talking about? And so there has been a good push for applied theology of trying to apply God's Word everywhere. And I think that comes with some difficulties, some challenges, especially amongst people that have zeal without a whole lot of knowledge, or zeal without wisdom. We know in Romans chapter 12, we're called to do not be slothful in zeal, so we must have zeal. Romans chapter 10, we are warned that zeal without knowledge is dangerous. That's what the Pharisees were walking in, zeal without knowledge, proper knowledge. So you have to have zeal and knowledge, or zeal and wisdom, and we're going to talk through a couple of those things and look at Luke chapter 9, near the closing of Luke chapter 9. I just finished preaching through this last week. I think we were in 8 or 10 weeks in this one chapter. It's been a lot of fun, but we're going to look at the sons of thunder, James and John. But first, I want to remind you of the Shepherd's Crook Intensive coming up the 16th through the 18th of May. Please check that out today. I got to make a note about that real quick over here. Would love for you to be there. I'll put the link in the show notes. Come. It's a great trip. If you're looking for a father and son trip or just a good men's trip, then this is the trip for you. A.D. Robles is going to be speaking, Matt Reynolds as well, and we're going to have a great time floating down the river, two rivers, most beautiful rivers in the Midwest, and we're also going to have some really cool activities, a strongman competition, arm wrestling competition, and some other things as well. It's going to be really cool. The Sons and Slaves podcast, and then the Fruitful and Fearless podcast as well, and our sponsor of the month, you heard it in the ad, Duckworth. Go ahead and check them out. I personally have some socks from them, a hoodie from them, a shirt from them, and I love the company. You got to check it out. And we're doing a giveaway right now. If you'll go to the Shepherd's Crook Instagram, then you can sign up for that and pass that along. Would love for you to do that. And hopefully you can win a hoodie, a really cool hoodie. It is a really top-notch hoodie. It's a $175 hoodie that you're going to have forever. And you might think, oh my gosh, that's a crazy expensive for a hoodie. But this is it keeps you warm and when you're wet, and it is going to last forever. It's good, thick wool, directly from Montana, and made, sourced, everything right here in the United States, which I love companies like that. Going to be having an interview that's going to be releasing here pretty soon with the president of that company, Daniel Mao, and I think you'll enjoy that episode. That will be here in a couple weeks. Okay, let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord's help, and then we're going to dive into Applied theology. Let's pray. Father, we just need wisdom. We need direction. Help us to be faithful, to have zeal, and then want your word, want to see how the dots connect from life to your word, and then want to apply those things in a right and healthy way, in the right measure, in the right tone, with the right posture, sometimes with wanting to call down judgment and fire from heaven, and at other times, wanting to back off and simply pray, and give us the wisdom to know when to do which. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. What I see is a lot of zeal, especially young guys. We're going to have some more episodes coming about out about this. I just talked to my friend Derek Harema about this. We're going to be releasing that episode here in a few weeks. And I've mentioned this in passing, but when I was looking at this passage this week and going to preach Sunday morning, I thought there were some really interesting application points when it comes to the difficulty of applied theology. Now, you might say, well, the difficulty of applied theology, isn't that what the whole seeker-sensitive movement was trying to do? It was trying to just make application points. And so in some sense, yes, we want to apply what we know. They were doing a really cheesy job of that. At least they were wanting to get people to obey and honor the Lord. That was at least what they would say. And then with the gospel-centered movement, the commands of God were almost viewed as burdensome, and there certainly was not in the gospel-centered movement a real robust Kuyperian understanding of sphere sovereignty. And now we are in this kind of new Puritanism era of embracing Kuyperian thought and looking at everything and saying, my goodness, God's word is just authoritative. We love God's word. We want to see it apply everywhere, from the nitty-gritty details of my personal life, from when I wake up in the morning to when I go to sleep at night, to how we do family worship and we conduct ourselves in our home, to how the church functions and operates. And we want to have a proper, good ecclesiology and confessionalism. And then when we want to look at the world, we want to have good civic and biblical order. And when it comes to law and all judicial matters, and so we need God's word to be authoritative. It is authoritative there. We want to recognize that. And then we think about from economics down to the decisions we make about the smallest things of discipline, how we discipline our children. We have our principles, we have our methods, but we all want to be faithful to what God has to say in every single nook and cranny of our life. Well, what comes with that is some danger of purity spiral, because we apply theology, we take those principles and also glorify our own methods that come from those principles, and then we end up making almost an orthodoxy about how we function and do applied theology. And I've got a book up here by J.C. Ryle that I'm going to be reading this year. It's called Practical Religion. And he does this very thing where he's just working through, here is how you think through the world. Here's how you think through different theological categories and how it applies down in the nitty-gritty details of our lives and in the life of the church. And what ends up happening, what can happen when we get zealous and passionate about that, is we can take a biblical precedent or take a biblical principle, and we can look at a verse and we can attach a verse to our action and justify our action because we have a verse attached to it. And what we miss subtly is that there are differing circumstances, and we're going to quote from Ryle here again just in a little bit, differing circumstances that determine what we are to do that may be the same or different from that biblical example. And so you might be using a biblical example and saying, look, this is what I'm doing, which is what James and John here, the sons of thunder, end up doing, is they say, look, we're wanting to do what Elijah did here. We're wanting to do what the prophets did and say what the prophets said. That's what we're wanting to do here, Jesus. We're wanting to call down fire from heaven. And Jesus brings a corrective word. And I think that's a corrective word to young men in particular, with great zeal, that is a good thing, and it needs to be. There's a whole lot of people in this world right now that don't have zeal, and we need to fan the flame of those hot coals or those smoldering embers that are there into a white hot flame of passion for Jesus. You know, that's what we want. We want to see that. We want to see more and more people with zeal. But we want to walk with some wisdom here. And it seems to me that there is fire hydrant theology. And there's a guy on Instagram, he's a comedian, and he's like a speed comedian. Everywhere he goes, he's running. He's just running as fast as he can. And if you didn't see and you're only listening, I'm running my arms kind of like Lloyd Christmas from Dumb and Dumber when he's on the road going to Colorado, when he's running at an incredible rate, Harry, that scene. And it feels like a lot of folks with applied theology are running like Harry going to Colorado, or running like that comedian where everywhere you go, you're running as fast as you possibly can, sprinting. And what I think when it comes to this theological discipline of trying to apply God's word in all of life, we need to walk with some wisdom. And even though we have a biblical verse to defend what we may say, the serrated edge, there's a time and place for the serrated edge. And I'm all about it. I love the book. I love Doug Wilson. I love, even Durbin, when I quoted him, say what the prophets say and do what the prophets did. Yes and amen to that. And walk with wisdom. And some young men, especially online, don't have it. And I want to encourage you from Luke chapter 9 to walk with both zeal and wisdom, zeal and knowledge. Here's what Jesus said, and John and James said, as they were going through a Samaritan village. Jesus had just set his face to Jerusalem, so there's a turning point here in the Gospel of Luke. Sets his face towards Jerusalem, and there was a village, a Samaritan village. Jesus was going to pass through that village, not stay there. He was just going to stay that night, wasn't going to stay there for a long period of time, and he needed lodging for the night for him and the apostles. If he wasn't going to stay there, the people weren't going to receive him. And that's what it says, but the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. He was heading toward Jerusalem, and the people wanted his face to be set on that village, apparently. And they said, no, you can't stay here. They didn't receive him. Now, this fired up James and John, okay? And this conjured up in them ideas of Elijah and prophets of old calling down fire to set an example that you don't treat the Son of God with disrespect. You don't treat the things of God with disrespect. Listen to the passion. Listen to the zeal. And I love James and John. We need more, you know, sons of thunder. I mean, that's a positive nickname for them. And when the disciples James and John saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Now, here's their thought. God's word applies here. I remember in 2 Kings chapter 1, Elijah called down fire from heaven. There's other examples of fire coming down and God's judgment coming to a rebellious people. What else is this but a city who is openly and flamboyantly rejecting the Son of God? His face is set toward Jerusalem, and they won't even let us stay in their home. Jesus, should we call down fire from heaven? They had a Bible verse to attach to this. They had several examples in the Old Testament to apply to this. And this is my appeal to you. When it comes to applied theology, we got to be careful with this purity spiral thing. And I'm talking to you, post-millennial patriarchal types out there that are fired up and excited and want to take the world for Jesus. I'm talking to you, forget your eschatology, just fired up people that are excited about the truth and are angry at the world and everybody else for being nuts. All right? Praise God for what he's doing in your life. All right. And you might say, Jared, this is soft. I'm not leaning soft, I promise. I'm wanting to call for wisdom. This is what I'm wanting to walk with as well, because I have to think about these categories as a man and as a pastor to be faithful. And as I'm going through the Gospel of Luke, I've been seeing these things that have been stretching me and challenging me. And there's a time and place to call down the judgments of God upon a people. There is a time and place to sing and pray the Psalms, the imprecatory Psalms. There's a time and place to stand outside of City Hall and let them know that judgment is coming. There's a time and place, and I've been there in the city council meetings, to let them know that what they're doing is violating the commands of God and they're going to stand and give an account. I've been there. I've done that. I'm going to keep being there, and I'm going to keep doing that kind of thing. I've stood and talked to people from all backgrounds, and just, you preach and proclaim the truth. Never shy away from that, okay? And there's a time and place to not call down the judgments of God on a people, because what did Jesus say? But he turned to them, and he rebuked them. He rebuked them. I'm going to pull up my notes from Sunday morning. This is just yesterday. James and John were thinking, hey, Elijah called down fire from heaven to consume enemies of God. We have enemies before us. Let us call down fire from heaven. It seems to be a one-to-one. Here's what Ryle notes. The two disciples in their heat forgot that circumstances alter cases, and the same action, which may be right and justifiable at one time, may be wrong and unjustifiable at another. They forgot that punishments should always be proportionate to the offenses, and that to destroy a whole village of ignorant people for a single act of discourtesy would have been both unjust and cruel. Here are some of the things that I pulled from that statement. Unbridled zeal with biblical precedent. Unbridled zeal with biblical precedent can lead to unbiblical conclusions, and you can hurt people with those unbiblical conclusions. Catch me. They had James and John, they had Bible verses, but they had unbridled zeal, and it led to wrong conclusions, and it led to them being rebuked by Jesus. Zeal without passion, okay, zeal without wisdom are both errors. Zeal without wisdom often leads a man to misuse Bible verses to justify words or actions that are wrong. Proper applied theology then. What was the proper applied theology? They could have brought other things into their mind in this moment, because there were other biblical examples, even though that seemed like the first and the most connected to example that they could think of about calling down fire from heaven or judgment from heaven. Proper applied theology in that moment required something else. It required mercy to the rest of the people in the village. It required mercy. And that is something that the Sons of Thunder didn't have a category for in that moment. So proper applied theology requires both zeal and wisdom. This isn't to say if you have wisdom, you won't have zeal. You have to have both. Okay, much damage can be done by a zealous man who doesn't understand proper application of God's word, but they're convinced that they do. So you have to be careful and walk and understand how God's word applies in each situation and with each setting. Much damage can be done by men with proper application and no zeal. Dead religion is no religion at all. Good men know when to pray down and call for the judgment of God on a people. But good men, godly men, also know when not to. And that's what I want to plead, because right now we live in a day, an internet hot button, hot take, fire hydrant, run, get crazy and get excited and get fired up and chop down those Asherah poles. And we want the Boniface option. I loved it, by the way. It's one of the best books that I read this last year. Yet, we have to know, hey, there's a time to not call down God's judgment as well. And so the challenge for us is to walk with wisdom and to have both. That's what is needed in our day. And in this day today, those that say, hey, walk with wisdom, you don't have to be a water hose, you don't have to be a fire hydrant, those men, like I can imagine some of you guys right now, are saying, dude, come on, man, seriously, this is what we need. We need that. And yes, we do. That's what we need. That's what you need is wisdom. That's what you need. Because the man that cries wolf, the man that is the fire hydrant all the time, eventually you're going to exhaust people all around you. You're just going to exhaust them, and you're not walking in wisdom. And so know when to use the serrated edge and when not to use the serrated edge. Know when to call down fire from God and know when not to. Zeal and wisdom. James and John got corrected, even though they were zealous for the glory and the advancement of Jesus and his cause. They were zealous for the judgments of God to be right, and yet they were wrong in their applied theology. So walk in wisdom. Okay, guys, hope this has been helpful. Please consider to come, or thank you for coming back and listening again or watching again, and keep coming back. I appreciate you guys. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrook.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crook, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.